Ja-na-na.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name, say my name. If no one is around you, say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns here with Tanya and Jason. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
We are here to do the game that's been sweeping the very select baseball Twitter sphere, people who actually do podcasts. The Baseball Prospectus 2016 edition is out, and I have it. And we are going to do a game that a lot of podcasts have been doing, where one person reads the player comments and the other people try to guess who the player is. It's pretty simple to go through, and basically we'll just go back and forth and see who between Tanya and Jason can get the most points. And for some reason it's being described as a drinking game, but it's really...
But we're drinking.
Yeah.
You know.
It's, the drinking is not really part of the rules, it's just like you are drinking. It's omnipresent. I am drinking Monday Night Brewing Drafty Kilt Scotch Ale. What are you having, Tanya?
Ballast Point Pineapple Sculpin.
It's very good. And Jason, you found gin? Is that it?
Jason Roland Fancy.
I have a gin and tonic. Thank you very much. Gin and tonic.
Not just chugging gin by itself.
No, I'm not just drinking gin straight. You think I'm an animal?
Out of the bottle.
Yeah, Jason's got a 40 of gin. You
know? Oh, yeah. Nice.
See, I could not do that because we would get, like, two comments in and I would be, like, passed out. So.
You're like, the answer's Drew Finley, you jackass!
I'm not a violent drunk. I'm just, I'm a lightweight.
That's, okay. Fair enough.
She wouldn't be able to stop laughing.
Yeah, I would devolve into giggles.
That's true. Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, so the way this is going to go, I'm going to read a player comment to Tanya to start off with, and if she'll get a chance to guess it. If she can't get it, then it'll pass to Jason, and Jason will get a shot. And if he can't get it, then I'll just say who it is. Sound good?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. So these are all going to... I tried to, since this is Yankees podcast, I tried to keep most of the people to either current Yankees or former Yankees, just so that it kind of narrows down the scope a little bit. And there's still plenty of players to work with here, so.
Oh, Jesus, we're, like, going people who used to play for the team? Jeez.
Well, yeah. But, like, if it was just Yankees from, like, this year, then most of them would be pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Nah, we gotta throw a monkey wrench into this whole business. And then it's like, oh... Cody Epley.
I don't think Cody Epley even made it into the annual. He did not.
I bet he's in there.
No, I don't think he's. I don't think he's played baseball in like 3 years. So.
No, I think he was playing for an like, independent league.
Okay. Well, I tried to make them like Yankees, former Yankees that you would guess anyway, like not like Chaz Rowe or anything.
Oh boy.
Although I did look at Chaz Rowe's comments.
Oh, boy.
And Chaz Rowe will not be in this. Okay, anyway. So we'll start with Tanya. And so Tanya will try to guess who this is. Blank is so little known that he doesn't appear on the first page of a Google search of his name. Some singer might have something to do with that, but it also shows that the tall right-hander fits firmly in the just-a-guy mold. He earned a role in the Yankees' bullpen early in the season, but faltered badly as the year went on and was ultimately demoted to AAA. That's a pretty mundane baseball tale, but Blank is adding some spice to his story by shipping off to Japan to play for the best-named team in the history of sports in 2016. If any Yankees fans remember Blank, they will be sure to wish him luck with the Nippon Ham Fighters.
What? All right.
Moving well.
Getting off to a good start.
Huh, it could be anybody.
Do you want me to reread any parts of it?
There's a guy, it was a reliever from last year?
Yep.
Okay.
He was demoted to AAA.
And now he's in Korea.
Japan.
Whatever.
And he's so little known that he doesn't appear on the first page of a Google search of his name. Because of some singer.
That sucks. Anybody have any idea?
No, and I'm going to hate myself as soon as I hear it, but I can't think of it.
No idea? No. Do you have any guesses, Jason?
I definitely remember there being a guy that had the same name as like a country singer or some shit. I am going to not have an answer.
All right.
I have no idea.
It's Chris Martin.
Especially because...
Oh!
Oh, I thought of that. Like, the comments weren't accurate. It was like, oh yeah, he was really good in the beginning and then he stuck at the end. He was like, he played for like a month.
Yeah, he had like a month where he was okay.
Blocked him out of my memory. Like, duh, yeah.
You're like, I'm not even ashamed. Whatever.
No, I'm not, because who cares? But it's hard, Chris Martin and Chris Martin's mom, but I don't care.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to read to Jason, so he'll have the first crack at this one. All right. Blank managed a rare feat by hitting nearly 20 home runs and playing passable defense up the middle while not looking anything like a major league caliber player. To achieve this, he made a point of making incredibly weak contact on anything that wasn't pulled and pulling nothing with any break. Yankee Stadium smiles on lefties who try to turn on fastballs, but as long as it remains legal for pitchers to make stuff bend, Blank would be wise to create some sort of backup plan. It's almost as if he thought the home runs he hit would act as flattering garments to hide the profoundly unappealing shape of his season. They did not.
What? Up the middle, 20 home runs. Brian McCann?
No. Tanya?
Steven Gerr?
There you go.
He hit 20 home runs?
Yep.
Holy...
Oh, wait, no. Nearly 20 home runs.
Oh, nearly. Oh, god damn it.
I mean, Jason, all you need to know that he played up the middle and was shit. Well, like, that was the comment.
Well, the 20 home run thing threw me off.
Nearly 20 home runs. 17 home runs.
I think you said 20 home runs.
Well, it's by hitting nearly 20 home runs.
Would it have helped you if he had said 17?
Maybe.
Okay, so point goes to Tanya.
I wouldn't have been thinking about 20.
All right, so Tanya, we'll go for this one too. Blank is a daguerreotype backup catcher. He can't hit anything except singles, and his livelihood hinges on his defensive talents, which usually means, to paraphrase OneRepublic, he'll be doing this, if you ever doubt, till the glove runs out, till the glove runs out. Unfortunately, the glove might be running out. Blank's soft hands and strong arm tend to make him a defensive asset. However, in 2015, he committed a career-high 9 errors, almost all of the throwing variety. His framing is still good, but by our metrics, he has slid closer to average in each of the past 4 years. Teams will tolerate a one-dimensional player, so long as that one dimension is good, but Blank is in danger of becoming a half-dimensional player.
Mm. Chris Stewart?
Yes.
Yes!
No way!
Yes!
Oh, man. I thought it was like Romine or something.
Nah, not quite. Although that wouldn't have been a bad guess. I just love the quip about him being a half-dimensional player. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. Okay. So now it's Jason's turn.
Ooh.
For years, people thought that they knew Blank to be a charming, one-dimensional, glove-first utility infielder. Those people were incomprehensibly wrong. Although he did appear in 47 games as his humble, everyday persona, Blank showed a whole new side, making his major league debut as a pitcher in August. He dialed it up to 84 miles per hour and baffled a powerful Astros lineup over two scoreless innings with a bold changeup-heavy strategy, pulling the string 68% of the time. After years of hitting like a pitcher, deciding to pitch like one was a brilliant move, or so it seemed until the Cubs released him 2 days before Christmas.
What? Now he plays for the Cubs? What the hell is this shit?
So much raid.
Oh my god. So I was going to guess Diego Moreno until you said the Cubs. I know this person exists. I know of his existence. I just cannot come up with his name at the moment.
I'm not sure you do. Diego Moreno's not really Diego Moreno's not really on the right track.
No, but I just remember there being an ex-Yankee something or other playing for the Cubs.
Well, I will say that he was on the Yankees for all of last year.
Oh.
Stop giving him hints! Rude.
He was on the Yankees all of last year. Now he's on the goddamn Cubs. Who just released him. I don't know.
No guess?
No, I'm not even gonna guess.
Tanya?
Brendan Ryan.
There you go.
Woo!
What?
You remember he pitched that one time?
Oh my god, that's... These are so stupid.
I think it's
These
just
are a... really dumb. Who wrote that?
It doesn't say who wrote all the comments. They were done by various people for each team.
Jason's just mad he's on the struggle bus right now.
Probably. Okay. All right, here's Tanya's. At long last, Blank might have run out of chances. He's had 7 seasons with 4 different franchises to prove he's capable of contributing in the big leagues, but finally in July, the Yankees cut bait. ERA has its flaws, but it really is tough to stick around with the career 5.59 mark, primarily as a reliever. While this could be an example of a guy who got more opportunities than he deserved because he threw hard, it's more fun to imagine a world in which Blank is a skilled blackmailer and secret broker with safety deposit boxes in banks all over the world. Perhaps it took Brian Cashman's courage to let him go for the good of the Yankees, even though he knew that Blank's wrath would destroy everything he held dear. There has yet to be definitive proof that any of that is false.
Chris Capuano?
No.
No.
Jason?
Esmil Rogers?
There you go.
Yes. Yes.
He is terrible. I think he's in Korea now, or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Jason will go for this one. Blank is a competent backup who's young enough to have some promise and is coming off a solid season with the bat. That's all well and good, but under the personal section of his Wikipedia page, literally the only thing written is, Blank grew up as a fan of the Boston Red Sox. As a result, he was a fraud in pinstripes who spent his nights staring his ceiling fan, wondering if there was anything he could do to repel the waves of self-loathing he felt every time he donned a Yankees uniform. Probably. Luckily for Blank, he was shipped to the Twins in the offseason, where his love of Boston will be a misdemeanor rather than a felony.
John Ryan Murphy?
There you go.
John Ryan Murphy's a Red Sox fan? Are you kidding me?
He grew up a Red Sox fan.
Oh my god.
But that's weird, because I thought he grew up in Florida. So why?
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
That's
what, is he
going to
be a Rays fan?
That's true. He's a big-time Marlins fan, all right?
Yeah, man. Grew up with them.
Grew up with Josh Beckett, you know. Okay. So, now it's Tanya's turn. Blank is one of those guys that embodies the creeping insidiousness of time's unstoppable advance and fills you with existential dread. One day, he's a toolsy 30-30 threat, promising championships, and you have your whole life in front of you. Next thing you know, he's just another lefty-mashing role player, and you're walking home drunk thinking about whether you're willing to lower your standards to the level where you'll eat something under the heat lamps at the 7-Eleven. For what it's worth, the Yankees deployed the aging, depressingly mundane version of Blank very well in 2015, and the results were solid. For almost all of us, growing old is all about learning to accept a limited role.
Jeez. Who was old and not used that often? Aero?
No.
Ooh.
Jason?
Beltran?
Nope. It's Chris Young.
What?
Really?
Chris Young. Aging? He's like, what, 33?
32.
32? Aging.
But he's used as a role player, though. Like, the key there was lefty mashing role player.
Oh.
Yeah, but
well, yeah,
it was about the aging and, like, the span of time and, like, what the
Yeah, I was expecting someone much older than Chris Young.
But he used to be a 30-30 threat, though, so. When he was,
when?
Like, the Diamondbacks.
Season?
No, like, three.
Yeah, like, one season.
3 years ago.
And then he was, like, bad.
I like how I just ignored
the
lefty part. Was
like, the whole story of Chris Young. He was good for, like, one season.
So much rage.
That was a bad goddamn player comment.
You'll also be getting op-eds from reviews of the player comments. This is terrible.
I'm just saying, if you're going to say he's aging, then I'm going to expect him to be like 35.
Exactly. Me too.
Fair.
I can't say aging at 32.
He's been aging for a few years now.
Like,
he's 29 and aging. Aren't we all? I just turned 28 the other day.
Like, would you say that Jacoby Ellsbury is aging? Because...
Well, yeah.
But I mean, like, he... aging in that, like, we all are, but...
Well, he didn't look the same as he did last
I mean, Ellsbury wasn't aging. He was just dying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
It was like, not like, oh, what? Look, Ellsbury's old now.
I'm offended.
All right.
I agree.
This one's being read to Jason first. The best adjectives to describe Blank are ones that don't exactly shoot for the stars. Cheap, useful, versatile, dependable, consistent. Most people hope their superiors have more glowing things to say about them, but in professional baseball, these descriptors can put you on the road to millions of dollars a long career. Blank was better than most realized in a starting role in 2015, and he deserves another shot to stick in the rotation, which he may not get with the pitchers in front of him in Chicago. As a reliever, he was yet another arm that allowed Joe Girardi to shorten games. He doesn't throw especially hard, but he's no Mark Burley, and he's got four legitimate pitches. You could do worse, and there are teams this year that certainly will.
Adam Warren.
Yes. Better.
Having some, like, Tokyo Drift outside right now. I don't know if y'all can hear that.
More chaos on the intersection. Or is that actually coming from your end?
Oh, that's mine.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear any Tokyo Drift, sorry.
It's a serious thing going on.
Okay. This is Vertania. Blank seems like he's been around forever, but in reality, any human being has really only existed for a microscopic fraction of a blink of the universe's eye, so the characterization is unfair. In baseball terms, it's been a while. Yeah, this is very... Baseball Prospectus is apparently very nihilist this year. It may surprise you to note that Blank was an all-star in 2006, or that he appeared on an episode of The Young and the Restless in 2007. Nothing nearly that interesting happened in 2015. He was an old, ineffective bullpen lefty who made four starts. The longest went 5 1/3 innings. That about sums it up.
Four starts. God.
And an old, ineffective bullpen lefty.
Capuano?
There you go.
Yeah!
There it is. I just Googled it, and if
he was on Young and the Restless?
Yes, he's holding a gun. He has a gun, I'm pretty sure. I don't even know what Capuano looks like, really. He's just, like, nondescript white guy, but, like, there's a guy with a gun. And if that's him...
Totally normal.
I hope it's him.
I'll include a link to this in the podcast description.
I'm more concerned about the fact that he was an all-star before I graduated high school.
Wait, maybe that's not him.
Yes, it's J.J. Hardy, Bill Hall, Jeff Suppan, and Chris Capuano, which is just a fearsome quartet.
Wow, what an all-star appearance.
Hey, it's the Young and the Restless. Their budget's not that big.
Jeff Suppan.
Also, if you Googled that, then that means you probably would have known the answer if Tandy got it wrong, so don't cheat.
I already knew. I was already going to go with him, but I wanted to see a picture of him.
All right, yeah, fair enough. I did think that that was a pretty easy comment. So
it just feels like he made way more than 4 starts, so I was like, not sure. It feels like he made like 40.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah, but that's how it felt.
So I think I'm reading to Jason this time.
Mm-hmm.
For the second time in 2 seasons, Blank was traded mid-season, this time from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners as part of a 6-player swap. Blank's desirability as a trade chip seems to stem mostly from the fact that he is a left-handed pitcher who inhales oxygen, but the hope was that the spacious dimensions of Safeco would keep his home run tendencies in check. It worked, but only when he was pitching at Safeco. He surrendered 10 home runs in 39 innings on the road, a number that can't merely be explained away by small sample size. At worst, it is easy to envision Blank as a loogie for the next 5 to 10 years based on his radical splits.
But El Nino?
Yes. I'm impressed by how quickly you got that.
Number one.
So it's, in case you're wondering, we're tied at 4. Very close.
Whoa.
Jason decided to be respectable after the beginning.
Yeah, I needed a, you know, slow start. I need to take a slow start.
Okay, so Tanya. Blank is the kind of guy that people want to believe in. For certain stretches, he looks like he knows what he's doing. He has the prospect pedigree, and he has demonstrated pretty much every baseball skill at least once. In his brief tenure with the Yankees, he excelled, and although Yankee Stadium might have been something of a balm to what ailed him as a hitter, it's hard to expect a ton going forward. He has whispered many a promise to a fan lost in his smoky eyes, flicked just one extra second half homer, but he never answers their calls next April. Blank will let you down, but he's not important enough to break your heart. He's more like your deadbeat cousin who's never going to pay you back your $20.
Justin Apple?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I thought that was going to be Montero.
Montero does not have dreamy eyes.
Yeah, I get it. I guess the eyes were the key.
Yep. Also, I feel like he's never demonstrated that many skills at least once in his career.
That's true. That's a good point.
He demonstrated a skill one time.
Okay. So, Jason. The swingman continued his sneak assault on his role, reaching a career-high 19 starts to continue an interesting trend. 2012, 57% of his innings as a starter. 2013, 76%. 2014, 86%. 2015, 96%. While you might speculate what we're watching the Peter Principle played out in bullet time, the curious thing is that Blank has pretty much already found the level of his own incompetence in the bullpen, where over the past 3 years he has allowed 5.91 runs per nine. He's been a little better when he starts, 4.78 runs allowed average, with better control and slightly fewer homers, but is, in fact, not the master of this niche that we might generously have called him at some point. Rather, he's just not great.
What? What are we talking about just now? Did they say something about a Peter's Principle?
We're watching the Peter Principle played out in real time.
What is that?
Like, rising to your own level of incompetence. It's like a thing from
From what?
Dilbert, the comic.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
I will say that he was not on the Yankees in 2015.
Is it David Phelps?
It is David Phelps.
Nice.
Who is not good. Even though some people were like, oh, he hasn't allowed a single home run through like June.
Should have kept.
Should have kept. Okay. The fragility of the BABIP-driven profile was on display at two positions at U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago in 2015, but there's no question that Blanks was the headline act. For the second time in 3 years, his shaky defense in left field and failure to produce the power required of a shaky defensive left fielder made Blank an overpaid replacement-level player. In 2015, his strikeouts ticked up, his BABIP dipped lower than it had been in half a decade, he walked as rarely as ever, and, well, we've pretty much named all the parts of baseball. He's a bad base runner, too. Okay, now we've named them all. It's a high-variance game he plays, and he could bounce back in 2016. At 32, and in need of some shelter from even a corner outfielder's defensive responsibilities, though, he's no longer a good bet.
Melky?
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah, have that.
Just because he's, like, the only one on the White Sox.
That's true. And last I checked, D-Rob does not play the outfield.
Well, yeah.
That would be a skip. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now for Jason. By reaching double-digit home runs last season, Blank joined a select group of players who had homered at least 10 times in each year since 2007, a group comprising of future Hall of Famers, former All-Stars, and this guy. In retrospect, it's hard to believe a third baseman who homered 30-plus times in three consecutive seasons never made an appearance in the All-Star game, but that's the danger of looking at history backward. What's with all this talk about Blank's past anyway? He's only 32, so what about his future? Alas, players with Blank's skill set tend to age worse than our pop culture references. To wit, even in 2015, a successful season by his standards, he set new career worst marks in homers per at-bat and per fly ball. He still walks and runs into enough pitches to stick around and extend his streak to 2016. After that, hey, most people would love to retire before their mid-30s.
Headley?
No. Tanya?
I don't know.
He was not on the Yankees in 2015, if that helps.
A third baseman, not on the Yankees in 2015. The only one I can think of is Solarte.
Nope.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's not good.
Chris Nelson.
Mark Reynolds.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
Whatever, I would have never gotten that.
He's not even a third baseman anymore.
But he was a third baseman when he was on the All-Star teams.
Oh,
I would have never gotten that. If you had given me all night, I would have never gotten that.
What if I had said they didn't play third base anymore? Do you think that probably would help her now?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wouldn't have helped me because I have...
Wait, does the comment say he doesn't play third base anymore?
No.
The comment itself doesn't, but he's listed as the first baseman.
Well, then what the hell is the comment? The comment's talking about how he's a third baseman. He's not a third baseman.
Well, because they're talking about, like, it's hard to believe that a third baseman who homered 30-plus times in three consecutive seasons when he was a third baseman at the time, that he didn't make the All-Star team.
Oh, okay. I guess. All right. I guess that makes sense
in
the proper context.
I have, like, blocked him out of my memory.
He wasn't even that bad at the Yankees. He was just kind of there.
I wouldn't have gotten that. Ever.
Okay.
We could be here next week. Wouldn't have gotten that.
Alright. This is for... Yeah, Tanya's reading for this one.
Yeah.
This Blank is the god of the opposite field home run. His first six dingers in the major leagues were to center or right field. The Braves had picked up the Cuban as a minor league free agent after the Yankees released him less than a week before the season opener. It proved to be another shrewd move for Atlanta's scouting department, as Blank proceeded to show plus power AAA and carried it to double-digit home runs in his first major league season. He's the definition of a true pinch hitter, seeing opposite-hand pitchers well and staying aggressive on fastballs early. So despite his late debut, he could carve out a multi-year career on National League benches as the guy who makes you think twice before calling on your loogie.
Adonis Garcia?
Yes!
Yeah, I had that too.
That was good.
Yes! See, that one's actually hard because the Braves have like 18.
Every one of them, yeah.
That's true, yeah.
a real shrewd move by, you know, the Braves scouting department by just taking all ex-Yankees.
It's because they have like 80 former Yankee scouts in their office, I think.
You know what would be a good idea? If we just take the guys we already like from that other team. Like, okay.
Whatever, guys. Okay. So, next one is for Jason. Blank improved on his surprising rookie campaign, first in a utility role and then at third base when Will Middlebrooks flailed his way back to AAA. Blank makes contact from both sides of the plate, hitting with greater authority from the left side. Typically more of a doubles hitter, he had as many home runs as Justin Upton over the season's final 3 months. Advanced metrics agree that his defense at the hot corner is not so hot, while fans of fielding percentage, hello, is this thing on, agree that you should get off their lawn. It's easy to discount his success after he languished in the minors for so long, as there must be a reason for the delayed arrival. Then again, maybe his previous organizations were just wrong, and Blank is simply the new face of average.
Solarte?
Yes.
Yep.
Ah, yeah.
Never nervous, Yan Hervis.
Okay.
He was a guy. I think.
So they say.
Okay, now for Tanya. Figuring out how to reliably construct a bullpen remains one of baseball's great mysteries. Blank's tenure in Colorado is a blunt reminder that simply throwing money at relievers isn't always a quick fix. His slider is still a terror on lefties. He saw the pitch a walk.
I already know who this is.
Who is it?
Freaking Boone Logan.
Okay, very good. Jeez.
Don't even need you to finish.
Damn.
I got right. This shit. It's Boone Logan.
I hate him.
And he knows a lot about Boone Logan.
I still can't believe he got like a 3-year deal.
I know.
That's a Rockies
and honestly, that's like the big tell there.
Can you imagine being a fan of the Rockies?
They did the, on Effectively Wild, they did a preview with the guy who read their essay, who is one of the editors at Deadspin, and he was just, like, the most depressed person the entire time. He's like, yeah, they're just, yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's, oof, miserable.
We are basically towing the line of mediocrity for the last 2 decades. Like, just like, yeah, what are they doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Anyway.
All right. So this is for Jason. Armed with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and only a cursory idea of where it was going, Blank produced more base runners than outs in his cup of coffee last season. Unlike most big-armed hurlers with control problems, Blank works with 3 pitches and actually has a decent track record of throwing strikes. His tumbling changeup in particular fooled a number of decent hitters last September. While neither the change nor his slider projects as the kind of weapon that portends a future in the very back of the bullpen, both can be effective offerings when he locates effectively. Still, for a rookie who will be 26 on opening day, there's an uncomfortably large gap between that rosy projection and his current strike-throwing abilities.
That could be anybody.
He's not on the Yankees anymore.
Oh my God. I don't know, Jose Ramirez?
Yes!
God!
No way!
That was amazing.
What?
Oh, man. Wait, does he hit 100 miles an hour?
Apparently. I don't know.
What? I don't believe that. It was like 95.
Maybe it played better. I don't know. But that's what it says.
Rude.
That's so hilarious, though, because it's just like, I don't know, Jose Ramirez it was. Did you have that, Tanya?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
I don't know.
Did it help? Did it help that I said he was no longer on the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, probably.
Okay. So, this one is for Tanya. Good fourth outfielders have underrated value to contending teams, which is great news for blank. He was almost a shino, switch hitter in name only, from the time he first attained his high minors, until the early part of 2015. He had a terrible swing from the left side, flat and long and slow, all at the same time. But a brief experiment with becoming a full-time right-handed hitter only proved that he needed the platoon advantage to maintain a decent approach. He rebuilt that swing over the winter prior to 2015, and the results were better. Unfortunately, a bit better leaves blank far short of an acceptable hitter against right-handed pitchers. He could be an asset with his gloves and legs, but he's a short side platoon bat.
Aaron Hicks.
Yes.
Woo!
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of my list, but I can keep going. Depends how into it you are.
How into it are you, Jason?
What's the score?
Tanya is up 9-7.
What?
Yeah. Actually, I guess I do need to... We started with Tanya, so I do need to at least give Jason one more. But we can keep going if you want. I don't care.
Well, I mean, if you at least give her one more, then she already won.
No, he has to at least give you one more.
Yeah. It was still... Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess he was saying that, like, even if I didn't read that last one, then you would have won anyway. But
true that.
I don't know. Do you want another one?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Okay. This one might be mean, but whatever.
Mean to Jason or mean to the player?
Mean to Jason.
Oh, what the fuck?
Fine. Maybe you want me to not read that one?
No, I want you to read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. At least it's never boring. A year after overshooting his 90th percentile projection, blank undershot his 10th percentile. He played the outfield, some first base, and even a handful of games at the Keystone for the first time in his professional career. As he tried to convince Buck Showalter to justify writing his name on the lineup card long enough for him to figure this thing out. The destruction of southpaws was the predominant aspect of his 2014 breakout, but he summoned Mendoza for a 623 OPS against them in 2015. The stat line gives the impression that blank reverted to old tactics, but there was at least one subtle improvement in his game. He figured out the curveball. He hit 6 bombs off the bender last season, after failing to leave the yard against any of the 500-plus curves he had seen in his career.
Steve Pierce?
Yes!
Easy.
I don't know. He hadn't been on the Yankees in a few years, so.
Well, I mean, who else on the Orioles was on the Yankees?
Yeah. That's true, I guess.
And was, like, stupidly good out of nowhere.
That's fair. That's fair. There's a good one-line comments in here. I'm curious if either of you can get it.
Is it just like, no?
No, but there are some like that.
This person.
Dislike.
Now, like, the one-line comments are in, like, the back of the, like, after they go through all the regulars, they try to hit, like, a bunch at once, and they do, like, one line each, basically. So it's like, this one is, fifth-round reliever, blank, has the fastball and the slider to climb the minors in the Yankee system quickly, but one can imagine he's aware of what force the universe is operated by.
Pinder.
No.
Boo.
The universe is not operated by Pinder.
How do you know?
Can you guess, Tanya?
No.
Chance Adams.
What?
Because the universe is operated by chance.
I don't.
Oh my god!
I even
die.
Bye.
Again, I could have sat here all day.
Yeah, seriously. I would have named all of the other 1,000 relievers.
Nick Goody. Nick Rumblum. Matt Tracy.
I don't think you would ever... No, there's no way you would guess this one. But I'm going to read the comments anyway. It's like blank as a profile you could compare to David Phelps if you were trying to explain why you don't think David Phelps will have a good year. And he's a minor league pitcher in the Yankee system.
Montgomery?
No.
Lael.
Luis Cesc.
Yeah, Brady Lael.
Oh. Yeah!
Which is, I mean, it's just kind of a perfect comment for him. Oh, good lord.
Yay!
Yeah, so I think we can declare Tanya the winner of this.
Me.
Whatever. Whatever.
It's pretty close, though. You know, 9-8. There are only, like, 3, which neither of you got, so. Huzzah.
Took me a while to realize what the hell's going on, you know.
It's normal.
The beginning was a little rough for Jason.
It was.
Who is Brendan Ryan?
Diego. Oh, I'm sorry. Marino. I was talking about how he's a pitcher. And I was like, oh, yeah, he pitched one time. Like,
what? Cool. It didn't say he was a pitcher. It said he pitched.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Bullshit.
Such rage. Oh, I should mention, the Jake Cave comments is completely confusing. The Jake Cave comments. Like, there's no way anyone could guess it from anything, because it just says, August 27th, 2016. A ball player wanders into the familiar Scranton locker room. It is dark. He cannot see his teammates. Daylight spills through the open doorway, casting each man's shadow against his locker. I'm back, and you won't believe what I've seen, the ballplayer calls out excitedly. The major leagues, the way the cameras sprinkle in second decks. The jets, the way men eat meals. Not burgers, but meals, he says, a catch in his throat. With nutritional value, the men do not turn, but continue to put on their socks and shoes, tip up their ankles. Come with me. Leave this place and come with me to the major leagues. I know it is bright there and the pitcher's fierce, but it is the real world, not the shadow life, this lie. He grabs the shoulder of Slade Heathcott, but his former friend only looks away. No one speaks. No one moves. The shadows are all that are real to him. I don't even know.
Exit. Pursued by bear.
I know where that's from.
I do not. But what?
It's from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, is that what this whole thing is referencing?
No.
Okay.
No. Exit Pursued by Bear is a stage direction from a Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I'm glad that Jason at least got that, so I'm not over here like, crickets, crickets.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I don't... That's more than a little cute.
I do know that... Patrick Dubuque wrote that comment since he talked about it on Twitter. But he was the one that shouted us out in the annual last year, so we'll forgive that.
It's imaginative.
Yep.
He couldn't have done that again this year? What the hell?
He didn't do the Yankees comments this year.
Well, I guess that's part of the Reds comments?
Yeah.
But it still thanked us for the Reds.
Your insight was very helpful for this very weird comment.
Thanks for Jake Cave. Very important. Who did the Yankees this year?
Well, I know Kenny Ducey wrote the essay, and Nick Ashburn at Beeper Bronx did most of the comments. Ooh. And then it just had the BP authors, so I don't know.
It's messed up.
Who knows? Who knows? Well, anyway...
Messed up.
Anything else we want to talk about while we're here?
No.
No.
I don't know.
Anything?
Oh, we could talk about freaking Carlos Corporan going to be the backup catcher.
Yay.
Yeah.
This is why the Vince Valley podcast is back. The latest on your Carlos Corporan news.
Well, wait a minute. I wrote an article about it for tomorrow.
Well, that will go up.
It'll be up already.
This podcast.
Ah.
Yep.
Good. Good.
We won't spoil it.
You've already read my article. Come back with the secret code that I put in the article.
And until then, our voices will be garbled.
Yes. Yes. So unlock it. You will need a secret passcode.
Otherwise, I'll be talking on the car phone for the rest of the body.
Spin the record backwards.
Carlos Corporan, number 17. So means he's gonna be the
man.
That's gonna happen.
Probably. Oh well. I mean, I guess it's not the end of the world.
Doesn't that mean that they have to get rid of Austin Ramon?
It would.
Yes. Except no one's going to want him again.
No.
They're just going to end up.
That's true. If they didn't want him last year, why would they want him like a year later? I guess he hit better this year in AAA.
They're just going to keep Sanchez down until they can, keep his service clock down.
I mean, I don't even hate that idea because I think he should play every day.
Yeah, because defense is what he needs to work on. So.
Yeah. But
also, the thing that I wrote in my article was that, backup catcher is one of, the least important roles in baseball. And, if you've got a prospect in there and, some bullshit guy that you just throw in there, you should probably pick the other guy that you can just throw there. Because, what's going to happen, especially in the beginning of the year, what's going to happen? Brian McCann's going to play every day because the season just started. There's plenty of time for things to break down, and then they need someone to play more often, and then they can bring up Sanchez if they need to.
Yeah. I mean, he had a really good season, and that's awesome, but I don't feel like he's at a point where it's playing every day is not important. Once a week is cool.
True.
That has been your Carlos Corporan update.
It would just be so much more interesting.
Just for you, Mrs. Corporan. Happy to help.
Yes.
Congratulations. You might be at Old Timers Day 2020 or something.
Oh, God.
How is Greg Bird's arm? That's what we need to scoop on.
Depressed.
Times.
Probably sad as hell.
Should I read his player comment just in memory?
No.
No? Why not?
I want to hear it.
It's okay.
Just what did it
mean? He didn't die, Jason. He's okay.
I know he didn't die. But we're not going to see him.
He'll be back.
They mentioned that if Helen of Troy had had a face that launched 1,000 ships, Bird had the name that launched 1,000 hashtags.
All right, see. They're really not kidding with these pop culture references, huh?
Nope.
is that a theme? Wait, is Helen of Troy pop culture?
Oh yeah, that's not really. Culture. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Well, at least they're self-aware enough to be like, yeah, these are aged worse than our pop culture references. So.
Cool.
What was Luis Severino's player comment?
Luis Severino's. Let's see. Severino's first taste of big league action was exactly what Yankees fans had been hoping for. The hard-throwing right-hander flashed impressive stuff and never seemed beaten. He allowed more than 3 runs in only 1 of his 11 starts and was an important cog in the rotation down the stretch. He's not without his warts, however. His secondary pitches aren't quite there yet, and as a fastball slider guy, he could open up some nasty platoon splits until his changeup catches up. That and concerns about his size might drive him to the bullpen still. Such nitpicking is missing the forest for the trees, and Severino's potential is undoubtedly exciting even if his early success was buoyed by a bit of luck on balls in play and with runners in scoring position. Young power pitchers who can start aren't as a commodity as Mets fans might think, and guys like Severino haven't come around often for the Yankees recently. So, I think it's pretty good, you know.
I wish we could just, stop calling him a reliever already.
He could be a reliever, though.
Well, yeah. Well, so could CC Sabathia.
Could he?
I mean, in the fact that he could stand in the bullpen, yeah.
Mm.
Well, Jason wants him to become a reliever.
Yes.
Jason. CC or
Severino. Jason is Keith.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I was like, what? Why?
Secretly, this whole time, I've been rooting against him. He's my mortal enemy.
I thought Domingo Acevedo was your mortal enemy.
He is.
Him too.
Or is Domingo Acevedo just the mini boss and Severino is like the big bad?
The final boss.
Not to be confused with that Korean reliever who was signed in the offseason.
Yeah, not that guy. Different guy. Different final boss.
What was his name? Let's see.
I don't know. Oh.
Oh, Sung Hwan Oh. There you go.
No, I was like, it was the final boss. That's what there was.
I think it's hilarious that his uniform just says O in the back.
Oh.
Oh. Should probably put a period behind that. Oh.
Jared Spiga replied to the picture of the podcast on Twitter and said, I thought every podcast that Tanya Bondurant was on is a drinking game.
Whoa.
Me?
Whoa.
Excuse me.
Are you going to defend your honor?
This is rude.
I mean, also probably accurate.
No. I had a strict policy of only getting tipsy for the Festivus podcast.
What about the last podcast you did?
I wasn't drunk.
Well, there was nothing about you being drunk. You just said, I thought every podcast that you were on was a drinking game.
The implication.
How dare you?
Fierce.
It's rude.
It's messed up. What it is.
Okay.
Find that person's profile and ban them.
Seems aggressive.
Is it though?
Or at least Tanya can reply with a neutral emoji face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we done here?
I think we are done.
Probably. Unless you want to hear about Ramon Flores.
No, not really.
Nope.
So, one beat writer definitely wrote an article about, like, Flores finding success with a new team. It's like, who cares?
If like, I think about Ramon Flores in any kind of way this season, I will consider it a negative on my life.
Didn't his ankle blow up, too? Something like that?
Yeah, in 2014, he, like, broke his ankle.
Right, yeah, that was like right after he got traded. Or no, that was this year. Because that was...
Yeah.
Because he was in the Ackley.
This year got traded. Last year, 2015 got traded. 2014, he blew up his ankle.
Oh, okay.
Because he was like looking like, yeah, maybe I can make the majors. And then it was just like, nope. I'm gonna blow up my ankle.
Actually, no.
Never mind.
Oh, apparently his ankle blew up again this year, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit. That's terrible.
Womp, womp, womp. Womp, womp, womp.
Way to laugh at him, though, Andrew. If I ever meet him, I'll let him know that Andrew Mearns laughed about you.
Mearns!
Mearns!
Listen up, Mearns.
What do you think about that, Mern?
Heard you were laughing at me, Mern. Uh-oh.
Police after me.
Here come the popo.
Are you sure he was hurt at the end of 2014? I can't find record of that.
Pretty sure.
Well, whatever. He's not important enough to waste podcast time on. Throwing more shade at you, Flores. How about that, Flores?
Whoa.
Pew, 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 pew.
It's really getting laid down now.
Yeah, okay. We're going to end this before it gets weird.
Was that shots fired? that was like a little like...
Pew, pew, pew.
A little like... Pew, 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 pew,
it was,
pew.
It was finger shots fired. Pew, pew.
Finger gun. Nicely done.
Ring around in a chair or something?
Yeah, I'm in a chair. What of it?
You want to fight, Mearns? I'm in a chair.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, that'll do it for us on the Pinstrip Alley podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley, Tanya Bondurant, Jason Double O Cohen, Mearns PSA. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. We're on Instagram now.
Instagram.
Yep. We Insta sometimes. Follow our countdowns opening day. As of Monday, it will be 42 days until opening day. So that's pretty exciting. So, for Tanya and Jason, Xander Merns, have a good night.
Bye.